It is time once again to go into our lessons of rightly dividing word of truth, and we're studying the word of God in a contrast sense between prophecy and mystery. And this week we're in lesson 16. Okay, if you have your notes, if you have your paperwork, we'll appreciate you if you use them. If not, then we'll get it to you. Or you can go on the website, www.cantongracefellowship.org, and find them there. But this week, we're going to do a little different, okay? We're going to look at the fact that God's Word is in contrast in the prophetic program and the mystery program. And in the past, I have given you everything up front about the prophetic program in times past and ages to come, and then we contrast it with what God is doing in the mystery program. Okay? This week, this lesson may be broken down in lesson 16A and lesson 16B because it is long. And I'm going to take today, when we look at a prophecy program, what he's doing there, we're going to go to the contrast. So it's just a little different format than what we're doing. I have to do it this way for this lesson. So if you will, go to Matthew chapter 10. In the previous week, last week, we looked at the fact that the prophetic program about the kingdom, the prophecy program, was temporary delayed. And we looked at Romans chapter 9, 10, 11, how God, through Paul, has explained to the saved Israelite that God saved back here in times past in the little flock under Peter's commission. Paul writes to them in Romans chapter 9, 10, 11, explains to what God is doing today. That God has set Israel aside. That He's not building a kingdom, if you will. That the kingdom has been postponed, and God, through Jesus Christ, His Son, is forming a body of Christ today, which He is the head. And I always challenge people, find anywhere else in your Bible, from Genesis through Revelation, the 66 books, where God tells anything about Jesus Christ being head of a church. It's not in there. You only find that in Romans through Philemon. Or be seated in heavenly places. It's all about heavens, and as you work through the lessons, you find out that they're praying heaven to come down on earth. We don't pray that. We pray what? To go to heaven. So there's a heavenly kingdom up there, and that's why in Genesis chapter 1:1, it says, "In the beginning God created the universe." It all does it. It says heaven and earth. God automatically, in the first verse of your Bible, points out there's a contrast. And He makes a distinction. But, from Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, all the way over to Acts chapter 9, that focus in God's Word is solely on the earth and through the instrumentality of Israel. So a lot of people in their Bible studies and their Bible mind will automatically think what God is doing today is continuing that program for today. And He's not. That's why you have to rightly divide the word of truth. And that's truth with truth. Amen? Amen. That's not truth from error. You can find that anywhere. But today, if we're going to glean something out of the lesson today, what God has done in the prophetic program, He's chosen by Christ. Look at this. The 12 apostles in the kingdom program and what God is doing in the mystery program, prophecy program. Look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 through 4. "And when He had called upon Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. Now the name of the 12 apostles are," and He lists them. Okay? He lists all 12 of them, doesn't He? Well, who chose them?
Jesus Christ.
Okay, you got that? Jesus Christ chose the 12 there, didn't He? Look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Verse 13. "And when it was day, He called unto Him His disciples, and of them He chose," how many?
12.
"Whom also He named apostles. So the Lord Jesus Christ on earth chose 12 disciples to be what?
Apostles.
Okay, let me ask you this right quick. He first called them disciples, didn't he? What does disciples mean?
Students,
followers, learners. Okay? Then he called them apostles. What is apostles?
Messengers.
Sent one. Okay? So he's appointing them. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ was an apostle? According to Hebrews chapter 3. You think about that. Okay? God Almighty sent the Lord Jesus Christ to do His duty on this earth. God Almighty, through the Lord Jesus Christ, which is God in the flesh, if you will, that He chose the 12 to do His work in the earth, didn't He? Hold your finger there and go to Acts chapter 9. We'll see where Paul, where was he chosen from? Acts chapter 9. If the Lord Jesus Christ has chosen 12 on earth, what about Paul? And I know what mainstream religion talks about when they talk about Paul. Paul replaced Judas. Is that what they basically say? A lot of them say that, don't they? They do not trust the fact that they prayed to the Lord Jesus Christ and they cast lots and it fell on Matthias. Okay? And they don't trust the fact, and we may see here in a few minutes. Yeah, I'll hold that thought. But look at Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from where? Mm-hmm. Now, this is after the Lord Jesus Christ died and buried and rose again. And he was with them for 40 days on this earth. Okay? And it also is 1 year in your Bible from Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 9. And there's a lot of things that happen from Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 9 in your Bible. And a lot of people holds to that with talents and won't let go. But look, verse 4. And he fell to earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Okay? The Lord from from glorified heaven called who? Paul. So where would you think Paul was chosen from? Heaven. In the mystery program today, where's the focus in the mystery program, if you remember, of lessons 1 and 2? The heavenly places. The focus of the prophecy program is in where? The earth. Very good. Go to Acts chapter 1. We'll see what the apostles, the 12 apostles, had known about Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. Had known only Christ on earth. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. We'll go to verse 8 for a second. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now who's that you?
Israel.
That's right. You've got to go back and stay in the context of the Word of God. You just can't grab that verse and apply it to your life. Now, all the Bible's for you, correct? Mm-hmm. But is all of it to you?
No.
It's not. Okay? Verse 8. Came upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in other parts of the earth. And verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, where did he speak these things at?
On the earth.
While they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So even the 12 apostles and all the apostles had known Jesus Christ on this earth. Look at verse 21 over here. Acts 1:21. Wherefore, and they're talking about Judas, had betrayed God and they had to replace him. That's all in the scriptures, by the way. They're not doing anything behind the scenes, you know, that type of thing. Verse 21, "Wherefore of these men which have accompanied us with us all the time that the Lord Jesus Christ went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection." You see that? You see that they had to be a witness of the resurrection? You see they had to be a baptism of John? They had to be with the Lord Jesus Christ until he was taken up of that day. That eliminates somebody. It definitely eliminated me. It only left two. Okay. And who were they? Matthias and? Okay. Got it? Okay. And they cast lots and it fell on them. That fell on Matthias. And a lot of people say, oh, you can't do that. You know, when you know what I mean? Casting lots was a form of way they dealt with things all through the Bible. They cast lots to determine their inheritance. So don't think it's anything bad. By the way, the Lord was in that. Okay? From the beginning. But look over here in a contrast. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, let's see what God says about it. And please, please take to heart what you just read in Acts chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. He didn't. Paul was not there at the baptism of John. Paul was not there at the baptism of Christ. Look at Acts chapter, where did I say? No, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and get Acts 26. 1 Corinthians 15 and Acts 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is where you find the gospel of Christ. And if you just bear with me, I want to read down to this because it's very, very important that you hear this because you can take this to the court of law in any nation and it will hold up. This is fact. Verse 1, chapter 15, verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein you stand." Very, very important. The gospel, he preached it, you received it, and you stand in it. By which also ye are what? Saved. If you keep it in memory, which I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered you, first of all, that which I also received. Now, where in the world do you think he received this at? Direct revelation. Would you think that Acts chapter 9 mean anything to you that we just read? Chosen by him, the Lord, from heaven? Okay. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel of Christ that saves you today. Plus nothing else. You trust Christ, died for your sins, buried, and rose again, you're saved. You're sealed. You're sanctified. You get in the Word of God and you start letting that Word of God dwell in you and that doctrine changes your life.
There's nothing else you have to do.
For your salvation. Amen. Nothing.
Even though we're still sinners.
Yes.
It wasn't true of the Jews. They were saved here.
That's right. Look at verse 5. I'm going to say something what Brother Walt said and mentioned about sinners. I know in my daily flesh that I can sin, but God don't look at me that way. God looks at me holy through His Son, and He places me in His Son. So if God Himself don't look at me that way, why in my world put myself in that situation? Because sometimes when we look at that fact, I'm a sinner. Yeah, but I'm a sinner, and you know, I hear that in a way that, like, wait a minute, I know I was a sinner. Because if I was still a sinner, then that says God didn't do nothing for my salvation. So I look at it in a different way, like, you know, God sees me pure, holy, and blameable. So if God sees me that, guess what kind of walk do I need to start walking? That's it. You sanctify. That's Romans 6, 7, and 8. You set yourself apart of those things. Okay? And you don't want to do these things, because we know that when you understand the grace message, people say, oh, you grace believers, you think you've got a license to sin, you can do anything you want to. You know, in all reality, you can, but do you want to? I think why does Lord Jesus Christ, if I really trust that He died and buried and rose again for my sin, save me out of the sinning fleshly, I was going to hell, why would He save me to continue in the things I was doing? See? So you know what I'm getting at? So that's why I'm refocused my mind. If God don't see me that way, you might see me that way, you know. But we don't sometimes look through the eyes of what God is doing. Keep moving. And He was seen of who? Cephas, that's Peter. Then the 12. That's over here. Okay? 12. And after that, He was seen above 500 brethren at once. Now you think about that. What a witness. Not only was He seen as Cephas and the 12 that He commissioned, He was seen of who? 500 brethren whom were greater, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, He was seen of James, then all the apostles. At last of all, He was seen of me also as one as born out of due time. Paul is a due time testator, if you will. Paul is saying at last. Where did Paul see Jesus Christ at? It wasn't in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, people. It was on the road to Damascus, and He was seen where? From the... Thank you. Go to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. When you show contracts, a lot of people say, well, there's contradictions. Please don't believe that. If you believe that you have the Word of God for the English-speaking people, commonly known as the King James Bible, if you will, then there's no contradiction in your Bible. They may be contradictions in your beliefs, and you just don't know where to put things. But keep looking. Acts chapter 26, verse 16. And Paul is recounting his on the road to Damascus. Verse 14 says, and when he had fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto him and saying in the, what tongue?
Hebrew.
What language does God speak?
Hebrew.
Very important. And God spoke Hebrew, by the way, to Paul, and it's translated in Greek. That's inspiration. And that's preservation for the Word of God. The people says you can't, you got to have the Greek and you got to have the Hebrew. And you have, no, you don't. You have one Bible for the English-speaking people, and believe it. And he says, verse 16, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things which thou hast seen. What have he seen so far? Everything about persecution of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's seen that, hadn't he? He had threatening letters. And he says, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Now, where does he appear to thee at? Revelations. Does he come back to the earth and walk with Paul and hold his hand like he did to 12? It's all from the glorified, risen state of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's how he got his information. That's it. It's very, very particular. Now go back to the prophecy program. Let's look at Matthew chapter 19. You see why I have to take this lesson and kind of do what I'm doing? Because if I give you all that information one time, you wouldn't understand the contrast over here. So just keep that in mind. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19 and get Luke 22. Okay. What I want you to look at now is this. Representing Israel, one apostle for each tribe. You with me? Okay. In this verse, you're going to see one apostle representing each tribe. Verse 19:28. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of what?
Israel.
He's letting the 12 apostles sit on 12 thrones, judging what? Okay? That's over here, by the way. When the Son of Man sits on His throne of glory, that's for Israel over here. And He takes those 12 apostles that followed Him, and He puts them in authority. And then after those 12 apostles is the 12 tribes. And after those 12 tribes is the governments, the nations. There's a power structure, government structure. Does that ring a bell anywhere today? You have a government structure that God set up on this earth that all the world, all the nations should follow. Go to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. Listen, there's about the whole theme of your Bible is about a power structure, about authority sitting on a throne. And Satan wants to sit on that throne so bad that he sin, didn't he? He fallen. And he corrupted 130 angelic beings up there, and they followed him, and he was cast to this earth, and he's the God of this world, and he's the prince of power of the air. Now that's it might be scary for some to think that, but you better believe what you're in. You better roll up your sleeves and get in the fight. Because God needs faithful people and faithful soldiers and faithful servants to serve Him while you're on this earth, people. You're not just on this earth to just sit around and have parties like we do here every Sunday. No, just joking. But look, Luke chapter 22. Once you understand that Christ died for your sins, buried, rose again, it's your responsibility to get the right doctrine inside your soul where it's feeding your Holy Spirit, that you know how to discern some things. My teacher, and I believe this wholeheartedly, says the Holy Spirit will not work on a basis of ignorance. You may think it does, but it does not. And we need to be mature enough to say, you know something, that's right. God, the Holy Spirit's inside of me, the same as He inside of you, and you get the right doctrine inside of you, teachings, guess what it's going to do? You're going to start discerning some things in your life and in your spiritual life, and it's going to make a difference. It's made a difference in my life. I just pulled out a letter today, and I'm not going to say what it says, but it was written in 07, and it was like a pastor, and it was just like a child wrote a letter, wasn't it? On crayon to me and my family. And I'm like, and I showed it to my wife because I'm looking at some files, looking at some paper. And I'm like, you know, how childish was this guy? He didn't have the right doctrine in him to show another brother that way. Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, verse 29. Luke 22. Luke 22:29. And I appoint you unto you a kingdom, as my Father have appointed to me, that ye may eat and drink of my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You see that? You see what Lord Jesus Christ is appointing those 12 disciples, apostles, to do what? Sit in a kingdom. Let's look at the contrast for the body of Christ. If you know through the teaching, 12 is always associated with who?
Israel.
One is always associated with who? The body of Christ. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And get 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And Ephesians chapter 4. Romans chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And Ephesians chapter 4. We have one of the sayings here, we say, let your fingers do the walking, but the Bible does the talking. You know, you're going to use your Bible, people. God gave us a Bible to use. Amen? Romans chapter 12, verse 5. Romans chapter 12, verse 5. One apostle representing the oneness of the body. Okay? Romans 12, 5. Romans 12:4 says, "For as we have many members in one body," see that? Not 12 tribes, by the way. One body. "And all members have not the same office." So verse 5, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one to another." One body. You're placed in one body. That's why I said on the onslaught, I challenge people to show me anywhere in their Bible where outside of Paul's epistles, if we will, that he talks about Jesus Christ being a head of a church, head of a body. That's what God's doing today. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 13. When you're placed into the body, when you trust Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again, something glorious happens to you. Your spirit is not only is it baptized, it's circumcised and placed in Jesus Christ. And that's all that matters. That's where it happens. That's all that counts with God Almighty. Look at verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 13. For by one Spirit, so by 12 tribes, are we all baptized into Israel. Is that what it says, people?
No.
It doesn't, does it? You better believe your Bible. It says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jew or Gentile, whether it be bond or free, whether it be, and have been all made to drink into what? One Spirit. Today, God is not making a distinction between Jew and Gentile. In times past, God made a distinction between Jew and Gentile, Israel and nations, if you will. What's that?
If you were back in the Old Testament, you had to be water baptized.
To be in that program, yeah.
Today, we don't do water baptism.
No, today, you just read it, by one Spirit. Yeah, yeah. You know, denominations and man-made traditions and stuff like that will put you a part of that, and they really don't do a study what that's for. Israel was doing a kingdom of priests. They was part of the nation. They were supposed to be separated. They was cleansed. They was sanctified. They was circumcised to be set apart to be a kingdom of priests. And a lot of people today don't understand that, and they try to put you back in this program. They'll tell you Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again. Everybody tell you that. But you got to do this. You better join this church today. You know, you better be baptized. You better do this. You better be circumcised. You know, all that stuff. Now, if you do that, you know, just realize that God's not in it. Now that's tough, because Colossians chapter 2 tells you exactly who does it by the operation of God. God Himself takes you, takes that spirit that was dead to Him, puts it into His body. He circumcises you. He sanctifies you. He washes you. He cleanses you. All that stuff, and it's in Him. See, Paul's epistles are very, very unique in the fact that all the focus is off of us. Come on, let's be mature enough to realize that. It's about in Christ. And if we get in Christ, in the body of Christ, we're in Him and He does everything for us. I like that, because I'm telling you, this program over here, that works program, You know what they say when you get saved? They win you, they wash you, they work you, then they whip you to keep you there. You think about that. Many of us has been on that treadmill, and you know, all my life, I just can't do it. And you throw your Bible down, and you say, "That's it. I just can't live up to God's expectation." That's the problem. You never will. But if you let Christ in you do it, it makes a difference. Now, I'm still way off, but God's standard's this, and like I said on set, He sees us in Him, and let Him do it in us. That's the key. That's the key. We can talk about that all day long, but keep moving. Ephesians chapter 4. I believe if Christianity today would actually honestly sit back and allow Christ in them do the work, okay, and believe their Bible, make a world difference, wouldn't it? There's thousands and thousands of religious systems out there. There's thousands and thousands of denominations. Everybody can't be right. And you guys know that you've been up... you just think you're right. No. The Bible's right. God's right. And, you know, you just got to put your mindset on what He's doing today and understand. And don't... The key to understanding the Bible's right division, we know that. Many of you sitting here today and listening, know the fact that this has changed your life. Amen? Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. We're still thinking about the one apostle representing the oneness of the body. There are 12 bodies. There are 12 spirits. You should be saying no, preacher. You know, there is one body, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, and you are called to one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And you just read what that baptism was, by the way. That's right. One God and the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I just read how many?
Seven
ones. In the Bible, seven is what? Completion, perfection. You are complete in Him. Because He does it all for you. So let's just get this stuff off our flesh and say, "Lord, You done it for me. Thank You." And rest in it. Whew. Amen. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Back in the prophecy program dealing with the kingdom program on earth. Matthew chapter 10. The 12 apostles. Has a commission, don't they? And how many times have you turned the radio on and listened to preachers out there talk about you have a great commission to fulfill? He tells you to go in all the world. You ever hear that? Well, I have. I'm thinking, I'm going to Africa. I'm going to South America. I'm not making fun of it, but I'm just saying, hey, you can go right around here, corner right here, and there's people lost and dying and going to hell. You don't have to go outside your own neighborhood. I think about that every day when I'm walking that dog. Every day. The opportunity to just knock on the door and give them a track. Give them a DVD. Just give it to them. Let them just say, "Hey, listen to this. I'll be back if you got any questions. You see me every day." Matthew chapter 10. The 12's offering kingdom at hand to Israel. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Verse 5 says, "These 12." Now, how many? And you just named them up there in verses 2 through 4, right? There's 12 of them. You don't have to take my word for it. You look at them if you want to. "Set forth and commanded them." Who's them? Thank you. He didn't command you and I. "Saying, go not in the way of the who?"
Gentiles.
Ooh. "Or into any city of the Samaritans." Now, who was the Samaritans? and?
Well,
that's right. There's half-breeds. If you want to be, you know, straight across with them, that was mixed. Enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know, Isaiah 50 talks about Israel being lost sheep, and they have no shepherd to lead them. That's back over, and they was lost then. So when the Lord Jesus Christ come, He says, I am sent but nobody but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Even in that nation that's supposed to have God's Word, God's authority and stuff, they was lost. Lord Jesus knew that. And He says, I am not sent but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at. The 12 is offering the kingdom of heaven to who?
Israel.
The lost sheep, the house of Israel. Okay? Don't get caught up in the saying, oh, Jesus told me. He didn't tell you that. Come on, guys. He did not tell you that. That's not your mail. And don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at God. But just say, you know, I might have been blind. I just didn't understand.
Now, there's more than two gospels preached in the Bible, but the main two are basically the kingdom gospel, which is for the Old Testament, and then the New Testament gospel, good news, we're saved through Christ.
Well, there's the kingdom gospel, and then there's the gospel of the circumcision, the gospel of the grace of God.
Yeah.
And so even in that, because if when you look at new and old, you know, a lot of people rightly divide their word of truth by saying Old Testament and New Testament, don't they? And they put everything over here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, through Hebrews, Revelation, over here, and everything over here, and then God divided the Bible. Can I share with you that man put that in there? Man put that New Testament in there?
Where the New Testament started, right?
Yeah. And let me ask you this. Do you know where the New Testament started? It starts in 80 something, but you know where it started. Okay? It starts in Jeremiah 31. That's where you find the New Testament. You don't find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So even the Testament, the Old Testament, becomes the New Testament, and Jeremiah chapter 31 will tell you exactly how it takes place over here. And there's not by bulls and goats. Okay, that type of thing. It's not the Mosaic law, but the who? The Messianic law. So things change. But you find the New Testament in the Old Testament. That shocks a lot of people. Keep reading. Well, look at Romans chapter 12 again. We've got a couple more verses. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Excuse me, Romans chapter 10. Thank you for correcting me on that. Romans chapter 10. Get Acts chapter 20. And Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 10 says this. And this is what we're looking at. I made a mistake. It's at Romans chapter 10. It's verse 12 we're going to. But in the contrast part of God's Word, rightly dividing Word of Truth, what God is doing today, He's not having the 12 to go out into the Gentiles, not into the Gentiles, but the lost sheep of house of Israel, proclaiming the kingdom of heaven as a hand, but rather He's proclaiming the gospel of the grace of God that we just talked about to the Jew and Gentile alike. Look at Romans chapter 12. I said that before. 10:12. Thank you. Chapter 10, verse 12 reads, "For there's no difference between Jew and Greek, and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich upon all that call upon Him." Get Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 24 says, "But none of these things moved me, go to 2020 for a second, Go back to four verses. Verse 20 says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house." Paul's telling from the beginning, telling everything that God told him up to that point to be truth, and he taught them without any. What does he say? He says, "I kept back nothing." Now, how many people would sit in the church today and the people kept back a lot of things, haven't they? You won't get that here. Verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greek, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save the Holy Spirit witness in every city, saying the bonds and afflictions abide by me. Verse 24 is where I'm going. Here's what Paul told him to preach. But none of these things moved me. Going to Jerusalem, going in bound, going this, worrying about rejection. Okay? Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Okay? That's his proclaiming that gospel, the grace of God, to who? To the Jew and the Gentiles. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 15 says, by the way, verse 8, let me share this with you. About Paul, and there's 13. Paul is the what apostle?
13.
Okay. You know there's 13 I's from there to verse 16? Let me show you this real quick. Verse 8, first I, thank God. Okay. Verse 9, whom I. Verse 9, I make mention. Verse 10, I might. Verse 11, for I long to see. Verse 11, I may impart. Verse 12, that I. Verse 13, now I. That oftentimes I propose that I might. Verse 14, I am a debtor. Verse 15, so as much as that is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are also at Rome, verse 16, that I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Christ, for it is power unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the what? The Greek. When you understand what God is doing today and contrasting the prophetic program with the mystery program, He's proclaiming the gospel, the grace of God, to Jew and Gentile alike. And it's through Paul, the apostles of the Gentiles, that you can get that message today. Until next week.